Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. The Supreme Court rules on immunity. I'm Daria Albinger. The Supreme Court says presidents have some immunity regarding official acts while in office. ABC's Devin Dwyer.
This is in no short sense, a big win for Donald Trump. It means delay. We already knew that a trial on these charges would be unlikely before the presidential election. Now it's all but impossible based on today's decision.
ABC legal contributor Kate Shaw.
This case is not unanimous, but a very big win for former President Trump, recognizing for the first time this sort of immunity of ex-presidents. Not for everything they do. Unofficial acts are still subject to prosecution, but recognizing this kind of some absolute immunity for core presidential functions, some qualified immunity for other official acts, that seems to be what the opinion says, is an enormous addition of new powers and protections to the president.
The dissenting justices say the ruling turns a person who holds the office into a king. This is ABC News.
This news report is sponsored by Wisconsin Capital Management, LLC, serving their clients for 40 years. Visit wiscap.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Parts of southern Wisconsin hit by tornadoes last week will get help from the state to clean up and recover. Governor Evers issued a disaster declaration on Friday. About a dozen tornadoes swept through southern Wisconsin last week. Some of the worst damage was in the Janesville area. Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s campaign starts collecting signatures today to appear on Wisconsin's November ballots. They need 2,000 valid signatures by August 6th.
We'll probably collect 4,000 or 5,000 signatures just to be sure that that we have far more than we need. And if our other state's performance is anything to go by, it may be far, far more than that.
Campaign manager Amaryllis Fox Kennedy speaking with WISN-TV's Up Front. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
This is news from WMDX Madison. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. I promise we're not trying to make you nervous about escalators, but nearly a dozen people were hurt on one at American Family Field yesterday. It was after the Brewers-Cubs game when people were on their way out. The escalator malfunctioned and started going way too fast, so people fell on top of one another. 11 were hurt, 6 of them taken to the hospital, and they're still trying to figure out what caused that malfunction. And today, the Madison Landmarks Commission will hear about a plan to split up the lot of a local landmark. The Weidenbeck Doblin Warehouse near the Kohl Center was built more than 100 years ago to serve blacksmiths and makers of horse-drawn wagons. It's now housing and has an apartment building next door. Veritas Development wants to tear down the apartment building and build a new one. That would require turning the historic property into two separate lots. They wouldn't touch the warehouse. That would stay exactly as it is right now. The city's preservation planner says it's a complex project with a lot of moving parts. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is WMDX News.
A Brewers win over the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 7-1 victory over the Chicago Cubs in Milwaukee. Chicago's Kyle Hendricks had his curveball and changeup working until the fourth when he gave up a home run to Christian Yelich, then three consecutive singles, followed by a grand slam by Bryce Terang. I asked Hendricks, was that the worst inning of his career?
I've had a lot of really bad innings. You just sit and you evaluate it for what it was. It was pretty clear to me that there were pitches up over the middle of the plate. So when I'm doing that, you don't give yourself much of a chance anyway.
After giving up a solo home run on the second pitch of the game, the Brewers' Freddie Peralta settled in, retired 14 batters in a row. How did he react to Terang's grand slam?
I get excited and I get emotional in that moment. I said a bad word that I'm not allowed to say here. But it was great feeling.
The crew opened a series tonight against the Rockies. Racing at Road America, Paul Menard took the checkered flag at the Trans Am event, but was later penalized for illegal contact with another car. He dropped a second, making Brent Cruz the winner. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
We've got some heavy rain rolling in overnight. Be sure to find those umbrellas for tomorrow because scattered shower chances continue and the rain ramps up again by the evening. Until then, enjoy today. Clouds increasing, breezy winds, and highs in the mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 70 degrees at our studios.
Welcome to the Lazy Wolf Lounge, Madison's East Side place for friends and family to meet for fun and food. Stop in for great daily lunch specials, soups made from scratch, and jaw-dropping burgers, wraps, and sandwiches. Plus Friday fish fry and homemade pizza cooked in a classic stone hearth pizza oven. The Lazy Wolf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook or at LazyWolfLounge.com.
Wisconsin Capital Management in Madison is a registered investment advisory firm and has been serving their clients for the past 40 years. The firm is focused on providing investment advisory services to its affiliated mutual funds. Their approach to investment management is designed to provide competitive performance over the entire business cycle. Their clients rely on them to manage their assets through the fluctuations of market cycles, and they strive to outperform over the long term. For information, visit wiscap.com.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, DJ Olbrus joins me to talk about Riverfest Lacrosse. And from the Green Bay Children's Museum, Heather Heil is in studio to talk 4th of July in Green Bay.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, home of the John and Gordy Show.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the outstanding Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number 2 of the big program. It is Monday, July 1st, 2024. A great day to be a Wisconsinite under mostly sunny skies here in the Madison area. Another beautiful day to get out and enjoy some sunshine. Hopefully you had a great weekend. And how about Matt Flynn? I mean, what better way to start a Monday than with Matt Flynn?
Yeah, especially when there's so much legal stuff to weigh in on.
Yeah.
Let's say you want to know what happened this morning, but you don't want to read a 120-page legal document. Right. Well, just listen to Matt Flynn.
Exactly. And I love the fact that he can make even a goofball like me, who's not an attorney, help me understand it and put it down there so I can get it. So we appreciate
Absolutely.
Matt taking time for us this morning. And he's going to be back with us, I believe, on the Monday of the Republican National Convention, talking about his new book. And this will be fantastic. Because some of his books are thrillers, some are just, you know, factual. This book he's just written is actually a comedy.
I'm interested to check it out.
And it's about Milwaukee. And it he didn't plan it this way, of course, but it just fell into line that Donald Trump calls Milwaukee a horrible city, and there's a big uproar, as there should be, about that. And Matt's writing a book showing people how great Milwaukee is, and that it's a funny city, too.
It certainly is. That's for sure.
Laverne and Shirley, Happy Days, both based in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It's not about that, but I'm just, in his new novel, and we'll talk about it with Matt from the Republican Convention here in a couple of weeks. So thank you very much to Matthew. Great to have you along here on a Monday. I promise you, we've been trying to get to this for 2 or 3 days now, but we had a caller last week who called in on electric vehicles, EVs as they're known, and whether or not some of these Biden administration guidelines are aspirational goals or whether they are, in fact, mandates. And we've gotten to the bottom of it. We're going to hear from the Secretary of Transportation himself, Pete Buttigieg. And we have a great clip from this. It's going to walk us through. It will sort everything out and give us factual information. So looking forward to that a little bit later this hour. First of all, I should remind people as well, the Milwaukee Brewers. What a weekend the Brewers had down there in Milwaukee. They took 2 of 3 from the dreaded Chicago Cubs. The Brewers still in first place in the National League Central. 6.5 games. Ahead of their closest rival, the St. Louis Cardinals. Then they find, 9.5 games back there are the Pirates. And then 11 games back are the Reds. And 11.5 games behind the Brewers are the Chicago Cubs. Could not be better.
Yesterday, my roommate, who's a Cubs fan, went to the game with a friend. And all the Brewers fans, as the Cubs lose, all the Brewers fans are like, the Cubs still suck. Oh, get out of here. And my roommate was like, oh, yeah, well, literally the only reason you're filling up the park is because Chicago fans are coming up.
I would not say that because I think the Chicago fans steal some of our tickets. That's what I think happens.
It's still, you can't deny that they certainly boost the attendance by a lot.
As do we, the Brewers fans, when we go down to Wrigley Field.
Yes, this is true.
I've been to a game down there where the Brewers are playing down there, and we bought a couple of tickets at Wrigley. And let me just say, Wrigley's an historic and a lovely ballpark.
I still haven't been there, but I'd like to.
It's fantastic. I'm not going to say anything bad about Wrigley Field. You can still hear Harry Carey up in the stands. So if you listen closely.
The voice just echoes.
Yes. How about that? Anyway, I need to practice on my Harry Carey. Anyway, the Brewers in first right now, 6.5 games ahead of the Cardinals. They are in action once again, this time from the great state of Colorado. They're on a Colorado high out in the Rockies. Game time set for 7:05, the first pitch. You can hear it if you're in the great city of Richland Center on WRCE, in Racine, Kenosha on WRJN, in Oshkosh on WISS, and up in beautiful Park Falls on 98Q Country, WCQM up there in Park Falls. Remember, we cannot stream the Brewers games because of Major League Baseball contracts. But if you're in one of those cities, dial us in, and it's a good time had by all. The Brewers are continuing to really impress people, and Pat Murphy doing an outstanding job in his first year with the Milwaukee Brewers. I want to get to go back to last week just for a second, because there's still a lot of debate over the weekend on the Sunday morning talk shows, other places, on the presidential debate from last week. And I think it's important to hear from a couple of folks and put this in perspective. And then, and Matt and I did not get to this on air, but I'll tell you a little bit of Matt and I's conversation over the weekend. Because, again, he is a two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. He's an attorney. He understands the inner workings of the Democratic Party. So we're going to hear from a couple of folks, Rick Wilson from the Lincoln Project, a former Republican, and also Adam Kinzinger, a former Republican congressman from Illinois. And then we're going to put this into context in terms of how things could and should move forward in terms of the matchup in November on the presidential level. So first of all, here's Rick Wilson from over the weekend talking about, well, actually it was on Friday, talking about the presidential debate from Thursday between Joe Biden and Donald Trump.
Joe Biden can have a bad night, but Donald Trump every single day of his life is a fraud, a con man, a pathological liar, a sexual assaulter, and a felon. And so, you know, when you saw Donald Trump, you know, within the first few minutes of the debate last night, he realized he wasn't going to get checked on any of the crazy stories. So as the debate progressed, he got more and more and more and more manic about his lies, and more like sort of Tommy Flanagan, you know, that's the ticket. Yeah. You know, the whole thing went, it just ramped up because he knew he was getting away with lying on the set.
But he was able to get away with it, and he was able to pitch himself as something he is not to 49 million Americans who were watching. It's about the numbers we think that's going to fall on. He was able to say that January 6th wasn't a big deal, that he offered Nancy Pelosi troops and she said no to it. I mean, he was able to get away with so much last night because there wasn't a fact check. There wasn't effective pushback. Does that affect the election?
Look, I will say this. Debates are overscored as a general election motivator. They do not have the impact that we in the political class, the media class, think that they have. Was it a bad night for Joe Biden? I'm not going to say it wasn't. It was a terrible night for Joe Biden. But Donald Trump has a terrible day and night all the time. He never gets any fact-checking on the whole. And that's part of the problem we have in the country right now, is that he has been allowed to tell these unbelievable lies for a long time without his people or him getting cut off in midstream, in mid-sentence, which is, you know, not editorial. I'm not
people,
a journalist.
People have come off.
They have.
Tried.
Some of them have.
But every word out of his mouth can be a lie. So,
right, including the articles A and the. I mean, this guy can lie. This guy can lie about things with, you know, he could describe the sky as blue and there would be a lie contained in it in some manner.
Rick Wilson on MSNBC on Friday. And I think the point he's making is a valid one, which is the optics of Joe Biden in the debate last week are overshadowing the factual content of Donald Trump's nearly continual stream of lies from last week. And at the end of the day, that's what we, including myself and in the media, should be focusing on more, is the actual ongoing lies of Donald Trump. And again, I'm not one sugarcoating this or trying to gaslight and say Joe Biden didn't have a bad debate. I agree with Rick Wilson. It was a terrible debate for Joe Biden. Unprecedentedly terrible for Joe Biden. But that doesn't take away from the fact that Trump had nearly unprecedented lies that went unchecked in the same debate. I want to read you this from Heather Cox Richardson, who we often quote on this show, a great writer, great journalist, great columnist. And again, this is not making an excuse for Joe Biden, but I think I find it very interesting, and I'll tell you why. She wrote this about last Thursday, quote, "This was not a debate. It was Trump using a technique that actually has a formal name, the Giesch Gallop, G-I-S-H. Although I suspect he comes by it naturally, it's a rhetorical technique in which someone throws out a fast string of lies, non-sequesters, and spacious arguments, so many that it is impossible to fact-check or rebut him in the amount of time it took to say them. Trying to figure out how to respond makes the opponent look confused because they don't know where to start with the grappling, to start grappling with the flood that just hit them. It is a form of gaslighting, and it is especially effective on someone with a stutter, as Biden has. It is similar to what Trump did to Biden back in the debate of 2020. In that case, though, the lack of muting the mics left Biden simply saying, quote, 'Will you shut up, man?' unquote, a comment that resonated with the audience. Giving Biden the enforced space to answer by killing the mic of the person not speaking tonight actually made that technique more effective," unquote, from Heather Cox Richardson. I thought that was a very interesting point. And again, I'm not trying to make, you know, make excuses for Joe Biden and wipe away the performance. I'm simply saying, and Trivia Olson has talked about this, the guy running Trump's campaign, Chris LaCivita, ran Ron Johnson's campaign against Mandela Barnes here in Wisconsin and won. LaCivita is an expert campaigner. He knows every play in the book, and this is one of them. They did this specifically to make Biden look even worse than he would have naturally. And it was intentional. And I'm glad Heather Cox Richardson called it out. 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to the beautiful town of Merrimack. Jack in Merrimack, got about a minute left. It's all yours.
I'll be as quick as possible. Trump was allowed to, quote, win the debate because of the tacit acceptance of his every utterance with no rebuttal, no fact checks by the so-called moderators. Mm-hmm. From a site describing moderator duties, moderators use a standard or guideline to ensure that all the content shared during a discussion or debate is appropriate. I'd argue a minimum standard that's appropriate is keeping both parties from lie. Mm-hmm. If you're a sports fan, consider this. It's like a baseball umpire who, when one side follows all the rules as well as they can and the other side cheats and cheats and cheats and repeatedly lies about it, and all of a sudden that side wins.
Right. Stay tuned. More on the other side. Thank you, Jack. It's the Tylo Ball Show for a Monday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Donald Trump brags he nominated the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, getting rid of the constitutional right to abortion.
Well, I did something that nobody thought was possible. I got rid of Roe v. Wade. For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it, and I'm proud to have done it.
Donald Trump not only took away abortion rights, he wants to monitor pregnant women and punish those who seek an abortion. Just listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
Banning abortion, monitoring and punishing women. That's how far Trump might go in a second term. Visit abetterwisconsintogether.org/TrumpMonitor to tell Donald Trump his views on abortion are too extreme for Wisconsin. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matt Nair on air.
Truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the All Balls Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Monday, July 1st, 2024, the 20-minute mark now after the hour of 1 o'clock. Glad to have you along. Give us a call, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Going back to last week's debate with a couple of reflections. And again, I'm not trying to drag this out. I just think it's because this has continued to have legs, as we say in politics and the media, meaning that this story about Joe Biden and his bad debate performance and, geez, should he be replaced or not, it continues to kind of perpetuate itself. So I think it's good just to take it on. And again, I've said last week, I continue to say, no denying that Joe Biden did not have a good night, had a really bad night. But because of the optics, and again, there was a meeting of the Biden family that had been scheduled to get together for an annual yearly family photo. And I guess there's reports are, a lot of the family finger pointing, say, how could the staff let him go out? The makeup person didn't have him made up right because he looks so pale. I mean, lots of finger pointing. But the bottom line is this, folks. That at the end of the day, Joe Biden is a compassionate, good person who will do the right thing for America. Who will choose democracy. Who will choose the rule of law. And on the other side, you have a guy in Donald Trump who has shown time and again that's not what he will do. A friend of the show actually tweeted this earlier. This from Matthew Dowd over the weekend. Quote, the choice is two elderly people, but incredibly different people to house sit. I'll step away for a second. So imagine this. You're going to go away on vacation, and as you do, you find somebody to house sit for you, to watch over your house while you're gone. Back to Matthew Dowd. Quote, Biden may forget to turn the porch light off, but he will water your plants and feed your dog. Trump will kill your plants and kill your dog and probably split the profits on whatever the burglar was trying to get. That's the choice between two older people that are going to house sit for you, unquote. I thought it was pretty good in terms of what people could understand. Let's play this clip from over the weekend. This is Adam Kinzinger. I think it was actually on Friday as well. On CNN, Adam Kinzinger, the former Republican congressman from Illinois, who was on the J6 bipartisan congressional committee, but it's being interviewed by Anderson Cooper, another guy on the panel who is a Republican, and giving it to Adam Kinzinger. It's a great retort. This is Kinzinger on CNN from last week.
Congressman Kinzinger, you just endorsed President Biden the day before the debate.
How's that going for you?
I'm just wondering, any regrets about that? Or, I mean, how do you see this? You were a Republican.
David, listen, man. You know what I'm proud of? I'm proud that I'm not standing here sitting on a stage supporting a man who is a habitual liar, who couldn't tell the truth, who pretended like the January 6th committee deleted all evidence, and it's on the frickin' internet. He has a defense team that can also come up with whatever evidence they want. So,
Congressman Kim,
I thought that was great. You know, not afraid to say, look, at least I'm not supporting a 34-time convicted felon, someone who lies without thinking about it. At least Adam Kinzinger is supporting and endorsing Joe Biden, a candidate who you can be proud of when it comes to their morals, their character, and will they do the right thing. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to Kurt in Madison, listening on WMDX. Kurt, always appreciate your call. What say you?
I'd like to pose the question. If you're part of Biden's staff for advising for him, and you approached him and said, or if someone approached him saying, would you do a debate with Trump? What do you think your answer would be?
If I was on staff, they asked, do I think the president should do another debate with Trump?
No. Before the initial date, with any debate at all, given Trump's track record, would you advise Trump, or excuse me, advise Biden to have a debate with Trump?
Well, I think me making that, I'll answer the question, but it's based on an incomplete level of facts. I'm not in the room. I don't know what the president is like day in and day out. I don't know all the inside polling numbers. But based on an outsider perspective, I probably would have said not to do it as early as they did it. But I think it would look weird if you say, well, if the other side says you're going to, I never think that it looks good for anyone to say they're not willing to debate. Now, I know guys like Derek Van Orten, a Republican from the 3rd Congressional District, he got away with it last time by not debating and got elected to Congress. But by and large, it usually looks bad if you say I'm not going to debate.
Well, I respectfully disagree with you because debating in the past presidencies before Trump, I would say, yeah, I agree with you. But you're dealing with a psychopathic narcissist who is nothing but a ball of destruction, and you're asking Biden to step into a ring where he cannot win that battle. It's only down, he can only go down, not up. So in my opinion, if I was advising and saying, absolutely not, you don't have to debate this thing, guy, you just keep on going out there and tell him that he's a psychopathic or narcissistic liar, and I don't waste my time with liars. Now, we're in this position because he decided to debate Trump. That's the way I see it. Going to the root cause, there's no downside not debating Trump because everybody knows he's a nut job.
I think that's interesting, and I don't necessarily disagree with you, Kurt. I think, and this is something Matt and I didn't get to on the air, Matt Flynn and I, we talked over the weekend, and he said that Biden achieved one goal and did not achieve the other. The first goal was to show that he, you know, could competently lead into another term, and he failed at that based on the optics of his performance. But the second one that Matt said, it was to basically get Donald, to remind people how crazy Donald Trump is. Because look, we're almost 4 years removed from Trump being behind the dais in the White House. And I think a lot of people have kind of, who haven't paid attention, like maybe you or I have every day, have forgotten what the Trump record was. And so by debating him on a national stage, we got reminded that Donald Trump believes that Democrats and Joe Biden are in favor of pulling children out of the womb, the vaginal cavity, and killing them. Trump believes that January 6th wasn't a big deal. Donald Trump is not, given three chances, is not willing to accept the results of the 2024 election, and America got reminded of that last Thursday. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
Well, my final thought is this. Biden was winning on the road with the bully pulpit. And I would have if it was me, I would have said, stick with this, hammer on this, and keep on pointing out how nuts he is. Everybody in that theater, when we went, their guts, like mine, were dropping out because we all saw the horror that was unveiling before our eyes. And yes, I'm not bailing on Biden or anything like that, but my point is, it was a scenario where it was bound to do more damage than good because you cannot win anything with someone that behaves like that. You might as well scream at a wall.
Right. And that's,
I think you're not accomplishing anything.
And I think, Kurt, that's probably why we might not see another one. You know, we might not see a second debate. And I think, you know, if Trump is sentenced, you know, which he is going to be the Thursday before the Republican convention, remember, Trump may be like out on bail to campaign. He might be spending part of his time in the jail. We don't know. We'll find out about that. I still believe that Joe Biden is the right choice. We'll get into it more on the other side, how the democratic mechanism works, because I think it's a lot more messy to change horses midstream. Back after this on the All Bull Show and Civic Media.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
This report is brought to you by Freedom Fireworks, with 18 locations throughout southeastern Wisconsin. Go to freedomfireworkswi.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A report says Racine County Executive Jonathan Delagrave died of a heart attack while jogging last Friday. That's what sources tell the Racine County Eye. A cause of death had not been officially released as of this morning. Delagrave was 51 years old. A U.S. Supreme Court ruling late last week means abortions will still be available in emergencies, at least for now. The case comes from Idaho, where doctors are leaving rather than run the risk of going to jail.
These questions need to be decided by science, by evidence, by the individual case in front of you. The idea that you can have black and white rules being created by people without the expertise, training, or experiencing the emergencies is really fundamentally dangerous.
Molly Meegan is chief legal officer with the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
This is news from WMDX Madison. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. It was a deadly weekend on the water all over Wisconsin. This is such an awful story in Barron County. A 71-year-old man died after saving his two grandchildren from drowning. It happened near the McKenna Dam on Saturday. He had been out fishing with his grandkids. They were both wearing life jackets but still struggled to swim. He ended up going into the water and getting them to safety, but then he never came out. Authorities are still investigating just how that happened. And one person died in the water in the Lake Wisconsin, Wisconsin River area. The Columbia County Sheriff's Department says a 63-year-old man went missing in the water Saturday afternoon. People started jumping into their own boats to try to find him. With the help of the Sauk County dive team, his body was recovered Sunday morning. The DNR says even the most experienced swimmers can drown, so wearing a life vest is your best bet to stay safe. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is WMDX News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The ladies of The View are always outspoken, to say the least, especially one in particular. Joy Behar recently said she still plans to get it on with a woman. When asked by fellow hosts Sandra Bernhard and Judy Gold if she's ever been with a woman, the 81-year-old Behar says no, but someday I will be. Behar clarified that she would do it when she was in her 90s. Sexy. It wouldn't be totally unheard of for Behar to take a walk on the wild side late in life. She met her current husband, Steve Janowitz, at a semi-nudist colony in 1982. Behar says Janowitz was naked. She was not, adding that for her to be naked in front of a man, she has to be in his will. The couple dated for 30 years before tying the knot in 2011. When asked why their courtship lasted so long, Behar said they wanted to wait until both sets of parents were dead so there'd be no in-laws. Behar was married to her previous husband, Joe, for 19 years, who I'm guessing she met playing Spin the Bottle. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We've got some heavy rain rolling in overnight. Be sure to find those umbrellas for tomorrow because scattered shower chances continue and the rain ramps up again by the evening. Until then, enjoy today. Clouds increasing, breezy winds, and highs in the mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
It's that time of year again. The 4th of July is right around the corner, and Freedom Fireworks has everything your family needs for a safe and exciting holiday celebration. With 18 southeastern Wisconsin locations fully stocked up with everything from sparklers to artillery shells, thundersnaps to 500-gram aerials, Freedom Fireworks guarantees to bring smiles and cheers to every backyard celebration. For fireworks from all the top brands and specials that can't be beat, go to freedomfireworkswi.com for a location near you. Freedom Fireworks wishes you a safe and happy 4th of July.
I'm Tiffany, founder of Harlem Pilates. When I couldn't find Pilates in my neighborhood, I started a studio from my studio apartment. Chase Inc. helped me grow from one Pilates studio to three. Because when you start small, you're going to need some big help.
With the Chase Inc. Business Cash Card, you can earn up to 5% cash back on business essentials, so your business can go from here to possible. Chase for Business. Make more of what's yours. Real business owner compensated for their participation. Cards issued by JPMorgan Chase Bank, NA member FDIC, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, Jim Santel will be back to explain what happened at the Supreme Court.
And we'll talk to the Dane County Humane Society first thing in the morning.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 until 8.
pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Oddball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 34 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. July 1st, Mr. Zomers. We've changed the calendar page. We are now in the throes of summer.
That we are.
Can you believe it?
Well, it always goes fast.
It does. It does. It's July is going to be a wacky and wild month, as Johnny Carson used to say.
For this show, especially.
We're on the road a lot. Coming up next week, going to be on the road, 5 cities in 5 days with Trigvi Olsen, the What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour 2. Two, deuce.
Electric Boogaloo.
Going to be going around the state of Wisconsin. Details to follow soon. Looking forward to getting back on the road and talking with many of you. Going to be covering, here's one place I know is confirmed. The Friday of the tour, the Friday before the Republican National Convention, will be in River Falls, home of Trigvi Olsen, for the 50th anniversary of River Falls Days. How about that?
That should be exciting.
Also next week, it'll be up in Chippewa Falls for the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. So that'll be fantastic. And other locations to be named soon. So that'll be a good time to have by all. And then I come home and do laundry and pack for a day and then back on the road to Milwaukee for the week to cover the Republican National Convention down in Milwaukee. Later on in the month, we're going to be covering the Public Education Network Conference here in Madison and also the EAA in Oshkosh, doing the show from there for a day or two.
Going to get some miles on the old Dodge.
It's going to get some miles. But looking forward to it. That's key, I think, getting out on the road and being with each and every one of you instead of just being behind the desk every day.
You really got, it's, you know, it's just like, I'm not saying, I know you're not going to like this comparison. It's just like Tammy Baldwin.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I just meant
you wouldn't want me to compare to her accomplishments.
Well, no, I'm not something. As accomplished as her, but no, I think you're absolutely right. That's what makes
Senator Baldwin successful. You got to get out and talk to the people.
Successful, right. She gets out and talks to people. Absolutely. So all that coming up in the month of July, looking forward to it in nervous anticipation. Want to button up this conversation that we started before the break here on Joe Biden, the debate performance last week, which was not good. We're not going to sugarcoat it. But again, it's taking away a lot from the fact that Donald Trump repeatedly lied, I mean, ad nauseum, one on top of another, on top of another. And that may well be intentional, as we talked about this article from Heather Cox Richardson, great author and writer. The technique, particularly effective with stutterers. And again, not saying, you know, oh, it was just that, but it was a large contributing factor. Want to talk a minute, and again, I talked to Matt Flynn over the weekend, former two-time chair of the Democratic Party and attorney. And I just want to talk for a minute, because this has been on all the talk shows over the weekend, about, oh, geez, should we replace or should Democrats replace Joe Biden? I understand why, at first glance, the answer for a lot of people is yes, we have to. There's so much at stake, and there is. But let me talk about a couple of things for just a minute. We saw and we played cuts on this show of Joe Biden the day after the debate on Friday when he was out on the stump in North Carolina. And he was great. And yes, I get it. He had a teleprompter and it was earlier in the day. But I think it proved in my mind, at least, the guy's competent. The guy is still there. He just had a bad night. And as he said on the stump, look, I'm not getting any younger. I'm an older person. I can't walk as fast. Can't debate quite as quick. But I fundamentally know right from wrong, and he'll do the right thing. And I believe that. And then you look at the other side of the ticket. And this is where I think is important, is that, and I say this particularly for independents and my friends in the Democratic Party, because I saw this firsthand in 2016 when there were people that said, you know, Democrats who said, we need to send a message to Hillary. She's gone too mainstream. And now we have Democrats who are concerned, and rightly so, about what's happening in Gaza. And we have Democrats who just don't think that Joe Biden's gone far enough. And there are not just Democrats, but particularly younger people who say we're sick and tired of only having two choices. And if we don't start voting for other than the main two choices, how are we ever going to get progress? And I hear that and I respect it and understand it as much as I can. But as Matt likes to say, and we'll clean it up for radio, look, we've seen some stuff. We've been around a little while. And the reality is that with the election so close, one of two people is going to be the next president of the United States, Donald Trump or Joe Biden. That's it. And so any vote for Cornel West or Jill Stein or Robert F. Kennedy Jr., or by saying, look, I'm not going to vote for anybody. They're both bad. All of those things I just said are tantamount to votes for Donald Trump. It puts him that much closer to winning the election. And so I believe that we need to have a coalition of former Republicans, now independents like myself, current Republicans like Paul Ryan and Dale Schultz in the state of Wisconsin, Republicans like Adam Kinzinger, former congressman from Illinois, Republicans like Liz Cheney, who said, look, we haven't left the party. We don't believe in MAGA, but we're not supporting Donald Trump. And in some cases, we're actually voting for Joe Biden this one time, as much as we may disagree with him, because democracy and the future of our country is dependent on it. And again, I also understand for a lot of people who are not political nerds like I am, you say, well, geez, everybody says that every election. Oh, it's the most consequential election of our lifetime. Everything is at stake. And you're right. That phrase has been overused. I can only tell you after 40 years of working in politics and being around it and following it, it's real. We know this because of Project 2025, the manifesto that the Trump people have put out. We know that Trump tends to do away with the civil service. So every government job that's not politically appointed currently will be under the direction of Trump and Trumpism. You have to pledge allegiance to Trump or you're out of a job. We know this. He said that. We know that he intends to sign a national abortion ban if he gets back in. We know that he plans to pursue a third term if he gets back in. Our country, as we have known it, will fundamentally change. We know from the Chevron decision for the Supreme Court last week that says that basically under a Trump administration, again, they're not going to listen to the scientists. They're going to let the Supreme Court decide these things about the environment. There is a lot at stake in this election in November. And so the question then becomes, well, all right, well, can't we just have another candidate? And I don't think Matt will mind me talking about some of our conversation off the air. As I understand it, and I'm not an attorney and I don't want to get in the weeds, I don't want to get in an argument because I don't know every single fact. I want to make that clear. But here's what I do know, that if, and the big question, star asterisk, if either Joe Biden were to step down or basically forced out, you would set off a cataclysmic interfighting in the Democratic Party. The easiest thing would be for Biden to step down and say, I'm going to release all my delegates to Kamala Harris, my vice president. That would be clean and neat in some regards. But even then, it's unclear because those delegates are legally bound according to state laws. And I don't know all the state laws. So when you have a primary in a state, by law, Democrats are saying those delegates go to the person who won that state. They're legally bound. So it's up in the air whether or not you could just say, okay, those delegates now can vote for anybody. So you would set off a bunch of court cases, let alone not everybody is on the Kamala Harris bandwagon. Might want Newsom, Gretchen Whitmer from Michigan, Pete Buttigieg. And by the way, even with Harris, but certainly with everyone else I mentioned and more, the only person that has a proven fundraising strategy, by the way, Biden outraised Trump over the weekend. The only person that has a proven fundraising strategy, the only person that has a proven get out the vote mechanism, the only person that has proven name ID, the only person that has proven national winning exposure, and who has proven to be Trump, is Joe Biden. Everyone else is unproven. Remember, Kamala Harris didn't even make it to the middle of the primary season last time. Pete Buttigieg basically finished second to Biden last time. Gretchen Whitmer has never been on national stage. Neither has Gavin Newsom. And remember, this election comes, yes, it's a national election. A lot of people don't like this, but here's the reality. This is a regional election for the future of our country. The only states that matter in the Electoral College, and yes, I don't agree with the Electoral College either, but we're not changing that this year. The only states that matter are Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Arizona, kind of sort of Nevada, kind of sort of Georgia, and kind of sort of North Carolina. That's it. Those are the states where it's basically 50-50-ish. All the other states, for various reasons, we know where those states are going to vote in the Electoral College based on everything, the totality of polls and history. So you have to have a candidate that can identify and win in the states I just mentioned. So it's not as easy as, geez, Joe doesn't excite me. I have some concerns. Let's get somebody else. It is the ultimate political poker game. Do you stay with the cards in your hand if you're playing 21 and you're at 16? Do you keep the 16 and play with the odds? Or do you hit the unknown and lose it all? And for my money, I agree with Matt Flynn that Joe Biden, for all of his faults, is still uniquely positioned and best positioned to defeat Trump and Trumpism. Is it the perfect scenario? No. But it's the scenario that's before us. And just like in poker, and just like in cards, just like in euchre, you have to play the cards you're dealt. So again, I call on people, listeners of this program, if you are for women's health care, if you believe in equality and marriage equality, LGBTQ rights, if you believe in conservation and enjoy muskie fishing and deer hunting and the great outdoors, if you enjoy the fundamental tenets of freedom and liberty, vote for Joe Biden. Hold your nose if you have to. Don't tell your spouse, your friends, or neighbors. But go vote. Because if we don't, and Donald Trump gets another term, it is not hyperbole. It's not making stuff up. Our country will be fundamentally changed. And I don't know that we can ever get it back from another Trump presidency. Because remember, he listened to guys like Wisconsin Republican Reince Priebus and former General John Kelly, when he said, why can't we just shoot the George Floyd protesters in the knees in Minneapolis? They said, Mr. President, you can't because it's not legal. He's made it clear, Trump, that if he gets in again, he ain't going to hire people like that. He only wants yes people around him with disregard for the law, because he's saying, boys, you told me I couldn't do it last time. What did it get me? Beat. It will be no holds barred in a second Trump presidency. Democracy is on the line. Vote for Joe Biden. Back after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for the John and Gordy Show.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The heat is on. Did you know that high temperatures are the leading cause of weather-related deaths? Here are some safety tips when you're dealing with a Wisconsin scorcher. First, do not leave another person or your pet in the car. 8 kids died in hot cars in the last several years across the state, and it didn't even have to happen. Look before you lock and walk away. Work outside, keep water close, and stay hydrated. Take a break in the shade, and if you can limit time in the heat, even better. Chill out in the air conditioning or find your community's cooling shelter. And check on your family and neighbors to be sure that they're safe too. Stay cool and be cool by being weather ready. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Welcome back to the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along. It is 10 minutes now before the hour of 2 o'clock. That's 10 minutes away from the Maggie Dawn Show. Coming up at the top of the hour, enjoy it every afternoon between the hours of 2 and 4. Maggie Dawn, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's go quickly to the phone lines. Karina, listening in Milwaukee, VNW-AUK. Karina, I appreciate the call. If you can keep it brief, I got one more thing to get to. But Karina, what do you want to say? Go ahead.
Hi, Todd. You know what? I absolutely agree with you. And honestly, I can say the Joe Biden did his best by anyone who would have a straightforward conversation with Trump. Mm-hmm. Trump said nothing. If you want a country, we have a Supreme Court right now, who's canceling left and right, fundamental rights of the people in this country, then you need to look forward and see what kind of country you're leaving to your children. Because this kind of man will set up the scene in the Supreme Court with people who will admit and approve giving tips.
Yep.
And then go back and say that the taxes for tips are not going to be taxable anymore. Isn't it funny, Todd? He just had that line saying we should take tips off the tax line, and before you know it, the Supreme Court comes out and saying that we now can give a tip to the government worker. I want to know if I can go ahead and give a tip to a policeman.
That's a great.
What will happen?
That's a great question, Karina. She puts it as she always does. No, it's right, right? I mean, isn't it? It is seemingly, and I think in reality, it all works together. And again, Karina points out why this election is so important, one reason out of many, and we have to get to the polls coming up here in November for President Biden. I have promised you this, and thanks to Mr. Zomers, we're not going to leave today without getting to it. Okay, so this is Pete Buttigieg, Secretary of Transportation, with Representative Scott Perry concerning electric vehicles and the so-called mandates versus actual guidelines. Here is the entire clip from Pete Buttigieg from last week.
Now, recognizing that attempts to bribe the industry and the public into EV adoption have literally failed at this point, continue mandating CAFE standards, EPA tailpipe standards that are de facto EV mandates. And ideological allies in 12 states are seeking to ban the sale of non-EV cars. Now, we can talk about the proper role of government. That'd be a great conversation, because I don't think that we have the authority or should have the authority to limit what consumers can buy in this regard or what they can own. But clearly, Mr. Secretary, this isn't working. So I'm wondering, is there some point, and if you've identified some point where you will stop, where the administration will stop, where the federal government will stop this requirement and let the market decide, as opposed to this central planning model and this dictatorial policy?
Well, thank you. Given time is limited, I will confine myself to addressing the factually incorrect portions of what you have said, beginning with the assertion that EV sales are going down. They are, in fact, going up.
Does that include
every
the government sales
year,
or private sales?
Every single year.
Private sales
more
or government
Americans
sales,
have purchased
Mr. Secretary?
The entire market.
The government's forced to buy them, so sales are going up, but private sector.
There are private sales too, yeah.
I'd like those numbers.
Sure. 1.2 million EVs were sold in the U.S. in 2020.
How many government and how many private?
We'll get you that breakout, but as you know, more private citizens buy EVs than government purchases.
No, I don't.
Let me address the second
true.
Factual mistake in okay. your remarks, which was that EV costs are getting higher. They're in fact getting lower, and according to J.D. Power, have now reached parity or are slightly lower than
with
the
or without
equivalent
subsidy,
gas-powered
Mr.
car.
Secretary. With
that does subsidy. Yeah, that does include the subsidy. That's right. But the point is, they are going lower.
But they're not, because we're all
your
buying.
Your statement
them.
That they
we're
are going up is incorrect.
Them.
The third incorrect assertion you made. Is that sales dropped in Q1. They did not drop compared to Q1 of the previous year. Of course, if you compare them to Q4, they drop, because they always do, because car sales are seasonal. But I would imagine most people are aware of that. And
no,
fourth,
I'm talking about
I want to address
EV, Q4 to Q1. EV, not just overall car sales.
Any car sales go down Q1 to Q4, because more people buy cars in Q4. But what I'm telling you is every single year, more Americans buy EVs than the year before. And the word tailspin is just a bizarre word to use for a growing sector of our economy. We also think that since that's the way that the market is headed, we should not allow China to build on the advantage that they developed during the Trump administration, not because they're environmentalists, but because they understand the economic power of trying to dominate the EV market. We want those EVs to be made in America, and increasingly they are.
I'm happy to have them made in America, Mr. Secretary. What I'm not happy about is the mandate. The American people should be able to buy
that brings me to the fourth
vehicle
and final
that
thing
they
that
want
I need here to challenge as being factually inaccurate, which there is no mandate. You can purchase a gas car if you want to pay gas prices at the pump, but if you don't, you can purchase an EV with our help.
That was absolutely fantastic. See, that's what we need more of. Just dispute. All you have to do is tell the truth. Just
He's
tell
got the
truth.
Numbers ready.
He's got the numbers. So no, in fact, there is no electric vehicle mandate into the future. If you want to buy a gas vehicle, you can buy a gas vehicle. If you don't want to, you don't have to. I love it. I want to address quickly off the text line there. Robert in Richland Center and Maureen saying, quote, to be clear, if the choice is Biden or Trump, I'm unequivocally voting for Biden. That being said, I'm annoyed about being called a bedwetter because of my concerns. The attached article expresses my feeling better than I can. I hope you will read it and consider it. It's in the Bulwark, and it's by Tim Miller, and I did read it, and I appreciate it. And I appreciate our listeners in Richland Center and other places talking about this. But here's my point. Whether or not you have concerns about Joe Biden or not, politically, if I take off my emotion, just politically, it's immaterial. The only people that are going to quote-unquote convince Joe Biden to step aside are either Jill Biden, Hunter Biden, or Biden's sister. That's it. And if he decides he's staying in, what good does it do to help defeat Donald Trump by talking about all the different scenarios that could be but aren't going to be? I would rather talk about what is. Joe Biden is today the Democratic presumptive nominee, soon to be the nominee. Donald Trump is the presumptive Republican nominee. Donald Trump represents a threat to American democracy. Joe Biden does not. It is a clear choice. And that's what we have to, so I want to deal on that. I just, as Al Davis once said, just win, baby. Stay tuned. Maggie Dawn is next. Hello, Ball. Thank you to Matt Flynn, Aaron Zommers, and all of you for listening. We appreciate it. Whatever you believe in, keep banging your drum.
Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the John and Gordy Show.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in Monday for Trump immunity ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court. We'll find out if Joe Biden's got SEAL Team 6 on speed dial.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 3 to 6.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 11 till noon on the talk you can't ignore. Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app.
Looking for a roundup of today's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on the WMDX website at mad.radio. Your news just for the Madison area. I'm Terry Bell with WMDX News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to Mad Radio.
WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.